Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight,
we were thinking, or I was thinking and preparing, perhaps that we can have these guests visit us this evening and perhaps talk to us from the dimension of where they are in the spirit world. And I know how Billy loved joking with you and how George's laugh still dances in my head. And I've been getting all these signals all week that they're ready to be guests on our show tonight. What do you think about that?
I think it's terrific. I mean, George loved being on radio, and so did Bill.
Yeah.
And it's nice to just continue right where we left off.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Billy, we spoke about this before, Maria and I, and it was funny because Billy was determined that we should have a program with him, and feature him, and of course George as well. And I said, well, okay. And since Billy has been talking to me since the first time I met him, and he's been on my program in 2003, and he introduced me to Maria and to George.
That's right.
And since then, we've been the best of friends, and George passed away 2 years ago, and he still communicates with me, on a regular basis.
I think what's wonderful is that...
I thank Maria, because if it weren't for Maria, I wouldn't believe that they were still talking to me constantly as they were. But she convinced me that they were, and that they contacted her as well. Go ahead, Maria.
I just wanted to add that it just proves that friendship can transcend any boundaries. It's a wonderful thing, don't you think, Maria?
It's love, it's friendship, and more often than not, we've probably crossed paths before in previous lifetimes. What we're dealing with in a friendship such as ours that goes beyond our physical dimension, one needs to realize that an individual does not require a physical body to manifest very close to us. And so many people, without their vision, have doubts about the life after and things like this. But I'm convinced that we all had a lifetime together in the past because it just folded so nicely together. And to have such great knowledge, spirit knowledge from the other side is it's really a blessing for me to have this opportunity to share with Lila and Leo and George and Billy. Now, I don't have any expectations of what's going to occur because I never know. It's not preset in my mind. It's not my mind's idea of what I think it's going to be. I'm working with presenting that which is shown to me. And Leo, I understand we spoke earlier that you wrote a beautiful letter after our friend Billy passed away. Would it be too much if I asked you to share that with the audience tonight?
Thank you very much. I would do that. I was going to do that, actually. Just wait.
You have to find it.
Yeah, I thought I actually had it, but
I was setting you up there, kid.
I had it set up for tonight, and now I'm ticked off that I don't have it.
All right, that's so, okay. It can always be done at another time, but you had told me about this, and you read this letter to me, and it was truly maybe weeks or maybe even months after Billy passed away. It could have even been days. I don't really recall, but I remember it sparked a great love for the knowledge that our loved ones and our friendships, as Lila said, are always available to us, and we need not fear their presence.
It was a reference letter for a friend, and
that's the name.
Okay. No, I just went to my website. I thought I had it up, but for some reason it didn't.
Here it is.
Didn't do. So I'm going to go to it because it's. I wrote it a couple of days after Bill, after his funeral, and Billy was in constant communication with me shortly after he died, psychically. I had so many,
experiences, sense.
Yeah, with him. I mean, even on my telephone, I got a call from B. Marshall. I mean, it was so bizarre, and of course there was nobody there, but it spelled out B. Marshall, on the phone. And it was like, and he was constantly trying to communicate with me after he passed away.
He's still playing his jokes. spirit will do that. They don't lose their personality when they cross over. And Billy was always delightful with his laughter and his playfulness, I think I want to say, aside from his very accurate readings in his astrology. I know Lila and Billy had a great time together, and so did George. She would put George right back on track, Lila, because you can go off on so many wonderful experiences that sometimes we lose track of the things we really want to say because it's so infinite. There's just so much in this fundamental existence and the teaching of life and the knowing of what occurs after one crosses over to the other side. So I believe that people may be anxious to know how our loved ones communicate, and I'm anxious to hear from Billy and George. I've been getting messages all day. I spoke to you, Leo, a little earlier this evening, and I woke up 3:00 in the morning last night, and I had these blue lights dancing all around, and I knew it was Billy, and I knew it was George preparing. I think they're waiting for this experience to be back on the show. And, I don't think they ever left the show, if I may say that. And, in fact, that's exactly what George is communicating to me now. And he's got his glasses down to the bottom of his nose. He's got his eyes looking up, and he's pointing to you, Leo. He's saying, ask the question. I don't know what question he's talking about. Do you have a question for George?
No, not at this moment.
Yeah.
You
wanted, earlier in the evening, you said you wanted them to give us some information what it's like where they are.
Well, I wanted to. There were several, and Maria, you had some really low setups, questions, but I wanted to ask George tonight because he has so many fans from this program. But I wanted to ask George tonight that if he what was it? If he could describe the transitional state from life to death. And then passing over, and then becoming
All right, he's saying right now that in spirit he's formless.
Right.
And
right.
What he means by formless, all right, he doesn't want me to say what he means. He wants me to just say what he's saying. You know, George. And they don't lose. Okay, he says he's still individualized, and it's like swimming through the air, and there's no suffering in outside of a physical form. In other words, he's saying, I dropped my body and I feel good. That's really what he's saying, and I'm attempting to tweak the words so we can put him in a spiritual light. And George is laughing at me. He's actually shaking a cane at me here like that.
Yes.
And Billy's going, I'm supposed to go first. You understand that?
He was really upset that he wouldn't go first.
So one of the things I think that's important that our listeners should know is that people remain who they are. Their personality is the same. You don't change, right?
Yeah.
True. You drop your physical body, and when the material being or the matter of the body is shed, then there's no suffering. And that's what George was saying, that he's not suffering. And Billy's saying, when is it my turn to talk? The two of them are horse bound over here, so they don't lose their personality. But as you graduate, let's say, or transcend to different dimensions, or evolve is another word that we can use, then perhaps there are a different ways to communicate their experience. As the speech is a clairaudient aspect that one can develop. So I can hear Billy, I can hear George. That's called clairaudience. And Billy's going, well, hear me because it's my turn.
Do you think that Bill would like that letter read first? Maybe he would, that Leo
if
wrote.
If he wants to. If not, then
let's... Honored. He feels honored. And do you remember that image in... it was where those two kids traveled. I forgot what it was, and they're going, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. I forgot the name of the movie, Somebody's Travels. Do you recall that movie? And the two boys traveled, and they met great beings, and they kept saying, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. So when you talk about this poem, Billy's over here, and he's bowing down, and he's going, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. He's using a great deal of humor. Humor quickens the atoms, speeds it up, because laughter is part of the joy of spirit. And George is applauding that particular thought. By the way, George is loving the idea about writing episodes, and also thanking you about writing about him in your book, Naked Behind the Mic, and you gave him such an outlet to share his wisdom. And what he's saying is that if you listen carefully, he's going to do clairaudience so you can hear him. And Lila, even that Billy is saying, you usually have headphones on, or you're really not listening like that, but you love the joy of humor. And Billy and George are kind of joking around here, and they're right in the studio with you. So if you are sensing any iridescent colors, or like a little blue light or a green iridescent color, that's how they're going to start with your clear vision. Now, as far as clear audience go, as you quiet yourself down, and Billy is saying that you have truly developed this Leo in a higher octave, so you can pick up the wave of his voice and George's laughter, and they love you, Lila. They don't want me to leave you out of this conversation. And George is showing me that he's got you wrapped up like a or you rack him up like a cowgirl, you know, like he's ready and charging to say something or go, and you'd reel him back in or something like this. Do you understand that?
He used to get into it.
She lassoes him. Yeah. But, you know, it's so funny.
Like he's got a cowgirl hat on you and a lasso and all of this and pulling. And the questions that you asked about, how are they? Where are they? What are their experiences? I'm not taking it from my mind. I'm waiting for them to express it to me, because it's not going to be my mind's idea. It's going to be what is presented that I could present to you. And also, did Billy write a song, or is he talking about your poem? He says he's ready. He's ready. They're both of them kibitzing over here about who should talk first. So Billy is saying, please do read it, and he's blessed. Well, he's not really blessed. He's saying, thank you, I'm not worthy. He's laughing about it. But sure. I think listeners would love to hear your poetic beauty of your friend.
It's called A Reference Letter for a Friend.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, that's why I said, okay.
I
you ready, Leo?
Yeah.
Did you have it? Okay. All right.
Incredible. I pulled it up. It was the it's called, I wrote it on the April 11th, 2007, and it was a that was a couple of days after he was buried. And as I pondered the death of a close friend, I thought, what if a reference letter could improve his chances of getting into heaven?
He's laughing.
I thought of what I would say if my friend needed a personal reference to enter heaven. What could anyone say to God or heaven's human resource director to persuade him to allow their friend into heaven? Well, he was a nice guy, or he was a great guy, or who had a few problems in his life, but he doesn't deserve to go to hell. It's possible that whoever is reviewing my friend's resume of life might know him better than I do. There might be something I never knew about him that might be in his personal file. So rather than say something too overly enthusiastic about him, maybe a little caution would be more appropriate. I expect to be applying for the same position one day. My reference for my friend would still be enthusiastic, much in the same way our friendship was. I liked him. I enjoyed his friendship. He was a good drinking buddy. He could talk about many subjects, and we could argue with one another without getting too angry. I could call him a fool, and he could call me a fool, and neither of us would take offense at it. We were well aware of the possibility that we were both fools. And my friend had a great sense of humor. He often told me that he did. I felt that he was truthful in that statement, since he laughed at most of my jokes and I laughed at most of his. He was efficient at some things and inept at others. He could be disagreeable at times and aggravate a saint. He was a good friend, as far as friends are good. He had several hobbies different than my own. His tastes were different than mine. But when we ate together, we seldom complained about the meal. My other friend seemed to get along with him, and his friends seemed to get along with me. And we had different political and religious views, but it made for good arguments. Now that my friend is dead, I can't talk to him anymore, and I miss him. And now that he's dead, I can only wish him the best and thank him for his friendship. And now that he's dead, I wish I had said thanks to him more often. I wish I hadn't taken his friendship for granted. I hope he knew that he was a good friend to me, and hope he knew that I was a good friend to him. And I hope his friend reference letter helps my friend get into heaven, because if he can't make it in, I haven't gotten much of a chance either. Sincerely, L.A. Steele.
Well, Billy's saying he'd be happy to write a reference for you.
Well, I appreciate it, Billy. Yeah, I got you there. Now you're going to get I write one for Lila and Maria.
Maria doesn't need one. She's already there. She's heaven on earth. This is George. Billy is very appreciative of this, but he was making some gestures, hand gestures, and not obscene or anything like that, but more in a joking way, like the Three Stooges and stuff like that, at some of the statements you said. Especially when you said about fools, that perhaps you're both fools, and he says that's what makes it so great. And he says death is only a word, thank you for your words, but he doesn't like the word death, and George is saying, oh, it's always a good day to die, in George's language, the way George is speaking. And Billy is showing me the beautiful flowers, the bouquet of flowers, Lila, that the peonies, the pictures that you took, the fragrance that you brought into the house, and the beauty that you capture in things. And even without the beauty, there is the beauty of friendship, even without a flower. Do you understand that?
Yep, I know what he's saying.
You know, Maria, I have to mention, we have a caller, and I think his name is Rod, and he's from Texas, and he used to be a friend of George's, and he calls the show regularly, and I wonder if you mind if we put him on.
No, not at all.
might have a question for us. Hang on 7 seconds.
It'll take us a minute.
Hi, Rod, are you on with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
Hey, Rod, this is Maria. We've never crossed paths, but George is a great friend of mine, and I know that you were his mentor. Leo told me this in previous conversations, and perhaps we'll cross paths someday. But I was wondering if there's anything that you would like to ask George, or you've had communication with him already, is what he's saying. And you did something to your face. Did you change a beard? Did you grow a beard? Did you shave? Or something happened with your George and you would only know, or would you share what I'm saying? Do you understand?
I'm not sure. It's difficult for me to shave now. So
maybe that's what he's. It could be as simple as that. Do you have a? I don't want to ask questions, but he was talking about shaving. So I didn't know if it meant a beard or not a beard, but it was definitely about the growth on your face or the non-growth or something of that nature. And Rodney, are you the individual who turned George on to the New Age teachings?
No, George was very much involved when I met him.
But there's something you gave him, and I don't know if it's written work or a book. It's a book. We all have books. I know that sounds very vague, but he's got a book. He's got it open, and there was a particular chapter or a particular consciousness that you brought him through this writing. Can you relate to that? One specific book that he's got. He's telling me he's dancing with the stars, but not like on television. Did you used to dance or anything? I can only present it. I don't know where it actually belongs.
No, I never saw George dance.
I have, no.
We did a book.
I never
saw it. Oh,
yeah,
it's
got his
wedding. He was
right.
A very
yeah.
good dancer,
he was
actually.
Good.
Yeah. His reference, Rodney, is that you helped him dance with the stars, I believe is what he's presenting to me to present to you. And is there any difficulty with a wheelchair or anything like this?
I have a wheelchair. I don't use it yet. But then again, I'm not that active anymore. So I don't require one, but I've got one when I need it.
Okay, because he'd be happy to wheel you around is what he's saying. Dancing in a wheelchair or something like this. It's your spirit. Is what George is talking about. And in showing me this wheelchair, George is saying he didn't even want to use a cane, but it was helpful for him when he needed it. And just as you said, if you need a wheelchair, it's there. And even if you don't get around physically, George is saying your mind is everywhere. Do you understand
well,
that?
I can use my mind better now that I can focus now because I'm not distracted with movement so much.
And are you writing a journal right now?
No, I can no longer use my hands to write. I don't do that. And besides, I don't have anything in particular to say. 30, 40 years ago, I would have had something to say with the knowledge I possess today. But everything I know now is shared with the world already, so they don't need my voice.
It's not even your voice. It's the manifestation of your spirit knowledge, your direct knowledge of the sharing. You're one of all of us. Now, that's me talking, not George. Those were my thoughts in speaking with you and saying that if you don't have this movement anymore, your spirit, your soul, your thought process, everything that you have is merged already with everything we all are. And he's saying you have your speech, and if you're not writing, perhaps speaking into a device or something like this, and the world very much needs you, is what George is saying. And he's also saying that your timing is beautiful. And I don't know exactly what that means for you. Do you understand that? Is there any problem with your nervous system and the spinal cord, anything like that?
Well, I have Parkinson's. That affects the nervous system.
Okay. I don't really like to ask questions because then I feel like my mind wants to answer them. But he is, again, talking about speech, and he feels you have a lot to say, and the world still and individuals would still love to hear you share your wisdom.
I'm still able to help people from time to time. I'm there on time, but it's more of a casual thing in a public setting. I'll be out and about, and a situation will present itself, and maybe sometimes I can be helpful.
This is what he means. I don't know your journey with George, but if you could place what he's telling me, then you understand it. Again, he keeps going into your human speech and not to worry about any various disfigurements or things like that. And your language is clean, is what he's saying. So, and everything that you do, you've abandoned the non-essential things. And perhaps, this is my thought now, perhaps the idea of not being able to use your hands, as you said earlier, helps you focus on all the knowledge, the wisdom, and I'm going to say direct knowledge. It's a choice of my words, but he says you transformed his world or how he knew his world, and he says you embraced the entire universe. You understand
well,
that?
I've always felt that I'm a universal citizen. I don't ever really feel like I'm a human being. I feel like I'm a being in a human state.
Well, he says that you're not fond of being stuck to any creed, even that he had his own ideas of religion and things of this nature. There isn't a particular religious or creed that you want to transform. No, what's not transform? Hold on a minute.
I can help you.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't subscribe to any particular teaching.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. I was looking
on all of them.
That's it.
And I don't belittle anyone for anything that they believe. I think that that's wonderful. But they believe it from their perspective. My beliefs are from my perspective, and you can't see through my eyes easily.
Well, I'm not attempting to see through your eyes.
No,
what
I mean is...
Oh, what you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't. It, that didn't really come out right. What I mean is that you... This is me talking, not George. What I mean is that you live what you know your truth to be. That's what I meant to say, and it probably didn't come out right when I said I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to look through your eyes. You have the coming age of light, you know, fiery sword of spirit, you know, all of those knowings of truth or what you understand truth to be, you live it. You don't just speak.
George and I met at the time when I was finally relinquishing materialism totally, and I had finally made my life choices. What you're trying to say, or what you're saying, to paraphrase, is I have learned to walk my talk. I have Native American blood that I value very much, and I follow that teaching because it's an earth teaching. All of the old teachings I find to be more valid than the new ones because the new ones have been corrupted. And even the Native American teachings are being corrupted today. But someone who practices them can see the corruption and weed it out pretty easily.
Well, you have a beautiful garden, and you're not allowing those weeds to... You cut through the spiritual materialism, let's say. Again, my words, not George's. And I'm so pleased that we have this opportunity to talk about your creativity and the spirit that you know. And some of the old and some of the new, you have... George is showing me like alchemy almost, you know, the idea of, like you described it so well, as weeding out that which is no longer useful and letting go of, or abolishing is the word he said, abolishing the old where there's no purification. So he's basically saying you've mixed what you know the recipe is for, the worship of the self, or what you would call the teachings. I don't have a word for it, but the knowing, again, the direct knowledge that you carry. And he's just so grateful that you have crossed paths, although you haven't talked in a while, is what he's saying.
I haven't spoken to George in a while, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him cross over.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second. Billy is buzzing. Okay.
Yes, I know.
did you know that? He's saying it's my time. Put me on. Yeah. Rod, Billy was a funny guy. He's not being rude, but Billy has been bugging Maria and myself
to have this
show and to feature him and George. Okay. And
of course, George came.
ever since Billy passed away in 07, he's been communicating with me, and George has definitely been, and with Maria and I, and this is a special tribute to those guys. But they wanted to kind of host this program. I mean, it was very strange that both Maria and I were able to get this these communications. And Billy is trying to upstage George tonight. Okay.
They're competing together over here, and I still have George is not finished yet though. There's he's talking about. He's not going to let Billy in right now.
I know. It's so funny. These guys are so funny. They're so competitive, you know. But,
and
yeah.
George is talking about friendship, like Lila brought up, and is it Roy? I'm sorry, my memory is not good. You're over here, and he's so concerned that you shouldn't lose an opportunity to manifest your friendship, and that's why they want the show, and that's why Billy's saying, okay, is it my turn? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand. Let Billy have his turn.
No, they're joking around, but what George is saying is to cherish friendships and don't ever lose that opportunity on the planet. And he says, of course, not toxic people.
toxic can be friends, just not close friends.
Yeah, just the understanding of that. And, manifest your understanding of what you know truth to be in your language, your wisdom, your journey, and all of these things. Because George says that today many people don't really search for the light. And what did you say? Wait, and Billy's saying, yeah, but in the future they'll weep for it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that. It was pretty profound, but Billy had to jump in again. So it's the fundamentals of existence, Roy, that whether you speech out loud, speak out loud, or not spill the chalice of what you understand carelessly. You're very cautious about how and when and what, and that's what he's saying, how, when, and what. I don't hear any other words after that because I think that really covers a vast, infinite knowledge that you carry and protect is the word. Okay, I couldn't understand what he's saying. Protect, that you protect the planet, the people, the knowledge, what you understand, love, friendship, the absolute, the creator, or whatever words that you choose. I believe that's what he's saying about your creativity and how cautious you are to protect, is the word, that which is sacred. And George appreciates what you, there was definitely a book that you gave him that turned him on to a greater knowledge, and I don't exactly know what it is, but perhaps you'll understand what he's saying.
But that's great that George is great.
And that he's encouraging you
he always did that for everybody. But
share the knowledge
that
you have. I mean, that's what was wonderful about George. He tried to pull other people
He brought so many great guests on our show,
and shared so much of what he had. And got other people to share. That's what was so special about him.
And he brought so many interesting people to our program.
Oh, lots of interesting
My
people.
God. And that was what's fun. But, you know, I got to tell you, Billy is being a real pain in the butt. You too, right? Yeah. Billy wants some time. So let's put Billy back on. Rod, please stay with us. George's got some more stuff to talk to you about. So just let Billy come on before he bursts some kind of...
he breaks the spiritual fiery sword. Now, others will understand what that means. But Billy is saying... What was that?
I was wondering what Bill wanted to communicate to the audience.
Yeah, he has something he wants to say.
He wants to say.
Let me tune it in.
All right. I see him laughing. I don't know why. He's just laughing.
Well... all right. What he is communicating is, first of all, that he spoke a while ago about the condition of our planet now, and then George is actually saying, well, you know, the Mayan stuff like that. And Billy, George doesn't want Billy to talk. those who are looking into the future don't have to be afraid because he is high every day. He says that his crossing had to do with his blood pressure aside from losing balance or something like this. Do you understand that?
We understand how he passed away. But the thing that I wanted to ask Billy was...
Yeah, he's just telling me that he's not pure energy, so perhaps your letter will help him transcend into another dimension, the fifth dimension, or he's counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think Billy, I don't know what he said, but before he passed away, about a year before he died, he made a number of very, very significant predictions. And one of them was that the world that the United States would go into a full revolution in 2015. I was pretty sure that it was 2015. He also predicted the 2009 financial collapse, all right? Now, remember, Bill died in 2007, all right? And he made these predictions on my radio show, on television, and also privately to me. And the private one was the revolution of 2015.
When he talked about that, he also said if it didn't happen then, there was another date, too.
There was another date?
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
I remember that
it was...
He's also saying 2016. George is saying it started 2012, and Billy's saying I'm talking, and he's predicting 2016. He's showing me revolutions, but at the same time, the forces that are the greater forces, I guess you would say, light against darkness or whatever, that there will be a lot of civil unrest is the word he's using, unrest, and then a recovery. But there'll be a suspended animation or suspended time before this recovery happens. Do you recall readings like that, Lila?
Yes.
From
Billy? I remember that when he talked about that, Leo, and he went further into the future, but I don't really remember what he said exactly, but I do remember he talked about some very, very hard times for the United States.
Which are what we're going through now, and, you know, he talked
and
about...
And a revolution of sorts,
yeah,
or civil unrest.
He predicted a 2009 collapse. Now, you got to remember, he predicted this in, I believe, 2006.
He says... Okay. I saw 2007, but I could be wrong. I read Little Blue Lights here, so he's saying that there's only one route, and I'm imagining now, this is my thought, I think what he's saying is the one route of truth or things of that nature, but the root doesn't die is what he's saying, so... This revolution, or how he embraces the cosmos in his astrology and his knowing, what he's saying now is that there's a great deal of chaos, and the planet deteriorates into some chaos, and even as this happens, man will evolve. Okay, I got it. Whew.
No, we understood that. But he said, I was certain that he told me it was 2015, and that
okay,
we'd come back together again in 16 and 17. But there would be a major civil unrest in the 2015, and that's just next year.
And he's not only talking about the United States; he's talking planetary, because he said the planet is in chaos.
I think there's a
war that's going on, it'll make a complete circle. That has to do with the root, but I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Let us just ask this. I want to ask this to them before we went to when we still did live on the air. I wanted to just change that to ask them where they are now, and if they're happy, and what it looks like where they are in their transitional state, in their new place. Do they mention that? Do they come through?
I'm waiting for a response.
Okay. Because I'm getting
what you think manifests. This is George.
Yeah.
You live in accumulation of everything before, and as you believe, so it is. if I want to be at a lake, I'm at a lake. If I want to visit your studio, and Billy's laughing, I visualize it, and I am there. Without the density of his physical body, but he still has not evolved beyond his etheric body or his astral body. So when you're talking dimensions, what he's saying to me is that they overlap. It's not like the door is absolutely closed. He's showing me like waves overlapping and coming on to, he's showing me a beach actually. So it's what he sees or what he thinks, and the accumulation of his knowing or his thought process now manifests as he thinks it. And as Billy's bringing back in the whole friendship thing with George now, and they're kind of not fighting with each other, and they're agreeing on what George is saying. And Billy is basically saying the same thing, is that as you imagine, I guess, as you think, imagine, visualize, as you see that which you want, depending upon the, let's say, cosmic assets, because he's saying depending upon how much energy you have, that is what will manifest you. There's a certain level that you can't go to yet because you're not evolved enough. And they're not saying that they're less than evolved, but they're saying they still have astral bodies, even that they don't have the physical body. Oh, I see what he's saying. You have to build the density of your astral body to travel here for the physical. When you travel, that's what George was saying, dancing with the stars, Roy. That's what he meant. Not that so much that he was dancing, but he thinks of the other outer worlds, off other planets, interplanetary travel, great beings, masters, teachers. If this is what you're seeking, you just automatically float to it. If you try to physically get to somewhere just with psychism or clairvoyance, that's not going to work, he's saying. That doesn't work. Direct or spirit knowledge in the invisible realities, it's filled with infinite ways to manifest. And they want to manifest into other levels, but they can't yet, basically. And you're saying, what does it look like? It looks like whatever they want it to look like. I think that's what he means. Do you understand that answer?
I do understand it. I strongly believe. George and I had many conversations regarding the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And but I believe George has transcended that, and I believe Billy has too. I believe they're in the fifth dimension. And fourth dimension is where, you know, they cross over to. But when you strive, because back in December, I went through this series of communications with them, and they showed me visually, and they gave me tremendous, they guided me through that fourth dimensional phase and into a fifth dimensional realm as well, and sixth, which is where they were both at. Okay.
And Billy's saying, there's your reference to crossover. You know how he jokes. But what they're both...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lila, I didn't get that.
No, that's where both of them wanted to send to, which is the sixth dimension.
They're both talking about peace. And I think this is for Roy, because George is talking a little bit louder, and something
Rod.
About a. All right. The a banner of peace. Do you understand that?
Are you still with us, Rod?
Over there.
Yeah, he's still with us, but I don't know if he's listening. That's okay.
Okay. He says it's difficult to comprehend the invisible world, the astral world, and the infinite. I'm using the word infinite, but he's saying the possibilities, okay? I used infinite. They said the possibilities of the expanding our evolution, aside from religious views, actually, is what he's saying. And there's a spiral. It's not like one door closes. We're going back to the overlapping again. And I might not have the language that's necessary to relay to you what they're saying to me, because it's very hard to speak other dimensions. And it's not an excuse, but I sometimes change the words a little so that we can have a communication. And they can joke, they do that, and now there's serious conversation that their words are implying about peace, and that in order for them to get to these other dimensions, and the dimensions that you were talking about, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, that the astral body or the etheric body, you could call it, has to densify first so that they can reach and ascend, both go up and touch our physical state of existence like this. But both of them say that it's not ordinary, that what they're going through is not ordinary, and that without the physical body, you can maintain your images or your imagination greater than you could physically. It's almost like if you want to buy, this is my analogy now, if you wanted to buy a boat physically here on this realm, you may have in your mind what type of boat you want, how you want it, and then you go shopping for the boat, and you find what you could afford and what you can't afford. Well, there's cosmic assets that they collect in the course of many lifetimes. So this would be how much energy or their thoughts would guide them to their future. Whether he's saying they drift in and out of different dimensions. It's not like the door is closed. It overlaps. Again, that's George, overlapping. Everything overlaps. And Billy is saying they're still studying, and positive thoughts must be gathered, and he regrets some of his choices, but regret doesn't help him. The results is to ponder, that's my word, the process itself. That's what he's saying. Like they're really, the words diminish the process. I think that's basically what they're saying. You know, I'm attempting to speak in spirit language in a sense, but words are not that easy when you have the imagination and the thought process, and you're living in the worlds, or the far-off worlds, or even the invisible worlds, and perhaps the far-off planets, you know, again, my thoughts. But they're saying it's hard to grasp the meaning of invisible when they are visible, but at a different level. Like, they're showing me astral, but they had to build their astral bodies from a bank account. Like, you want to buy that boat, you have to have enough money or get credit or whatever. And Billy's still collecting credits, he's telling me.
let me just mention, we have 15.
He's saying it in a very humorous way, you know. He's counting coins, and George is laughing because he's flipping, you know, like, here's my body, look at yours, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we have 2 seconds left. I'm sorry, I just wanted to mention, but it's too late.
Okay.
Rod, if you are still available, you can stay on the line. Those of you who we just lost our connection, but those who are connected can still hear our show. You know, go ahead, Maria. I'm sorry.
What they're saying is it's a task, even that your tasks don't end when you cross over. And it's a gradual containment of their thoughts that bring them into the progression of a higher level or higher understanding. So, but they're both saying something that it spirals rather than linear. You know, you might think that, oh, you know, you're crossing over and one door opens and then you go right into the next dimension. They're not saying that. It doesn't appear that way. And nature doesn't even work that way. We talked earlier, Leo, about a reading that you had experienced from a good friend of mine. And as you were saying about this reading that you had, I saw a rosebud, and I saw a rose. And in my thought process, we know what a rose looks like. We can imagine a rose. But if you take the rosebud and try to unfold each petal to look like what we think that idea is, they don't match. Very naturally, the rosebud has to unfold. And I believe, this is me speaking at them, and I believe that this is what they're saying, that it's an evolutionary, gradual expansion. And the spiral aspect is I believe, the Milky Way, you know, and the spiraling toward the chalice.
Well, what can Bill say? George described it quite well, but Bill, what do you think? If you know, basing it on the layman's term, which you were always good at, what would crossing over be like?
We're still going to live in the future, is what he says, and what he's saying is that there's still a future. So, what does that mean? I don't know.
No, but you know what he just said to me?
Go ahead.
It's like a hangover.
Okay.
It takes a while.
It's a gradual awakening, and
It's like a bad hangover, and he says you wake up and you see it and you think you know what you're doing and you think you know what's going on, but you don't. For a while until it all comes together, and then you have your first cup of coffee. And
there you go. You're saying it better than me.
I'm just saying what Bill is telling me.
I know you're saying it. I always try to refine it a little bit, you know, and perhaps I overdo it. But the work is important, something about using shields or that reminds me of what George was saying to his friend over here about, like, protection, like hold on to those things. But it's a gradual. It's not, whoops, one door's closed, you crossed over, you're dead, and you're stuck here. And certain religions believe that there's different levels that you go to, and perhaps there are, but maybe different languages used for each level. There's so many different forms of beautiful flowers. I happen to use a rose, but we can use peonies. Are you with me there?
Yeah, we got you. But, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, what Billy was saying to me, which was funny, because he was always funny. But he said, like a hangover. He says when you get over it. He told me that when he went through it, because Bill was in bad shape when he died, you know.
He
smashed his head. He was a wreck, and he was unconscious for almost 2 or 3 weeks until he passed away, and his face was all disformed.
He was saying it was fatal.
No, I just. felt, Bill, you weren't looking very good, Bill, you know, at that moment, you know, just to pass it on. And he knows. But the thing was is that when Lila and I went to see him when he passed away, well, when he was in the hospital, nobody gave him any chance to survive. And we it was just, it really affected me because, you know, seeing a vibrant guy like Bill and seeing him and having seen what happened to him and then, you know, paralyzed and, you know, totally incapacitated and comatose as well. You know, we just knew, and he, you know, but there was Bill. He had put on some kind of a. I remember standing over him there and looking at him. He seemed to have some kind of a strange grin, you know, as bad as.
Because he could hear, but he couldn't speak. That's what he's telling me.
Exactly.
And he could hear everything, but he couldn't speak.
Yeah. And
he said he realizes his responsibility is what he's saying right now. And some speed across the oceans, he says, but not him yet.
Well, you know,
the hangover dust.
That happened. I told him when he passed away, when he passed away, but before he did, that I wouldn't come back to see him because I couldn't stand to see him in that way. It really bothered me terribly. And
he was in a prison, he says.
Yeah, I knew he was, and he had his girlfriend there with him. And it was so sad, and both his doctor and everyone said to him, you know, just pull the...
Wait a minute, he just interrupted you. He says, stop the self-pity stuff. He don't want to hear that.
All right, you look like a piece of crap there, Billy. And I thought that he said, you know...
That's better. Oh, my God, what beautiful people. And
what had happened was is that I said, Billy, you look pretty bad, all right? And everybody who saw you said, well, man, this guy ain't coming back, all right? So, you know, and we all felt terrible for you, but we said, man, Billy just, you know, yeah, we didn't think you had much of a shot there left of hanging in. And I'm glad that he did because, you know, I knew what we saw, he just couldn't survive. He was paralyzed and, you know, all kinds of...
Yeah, he said he couldn't eject it. He tried to recover, but he's saying there was too much poison, in his body or too many sediments of irritation or the intensity of pain. But he doesn't want to hear self-pity at all. And but he could hear everybody. And he was happy to die. I mean, that doesn't sound politically correct, but he was happy to die because he became free from such suffering.
Well, you know, Linda, George's wife, was with him when he passed. And I happened to call George like 15 minutes after he died. I called She told me that he had just passed away, and she said that he had a very pleasant smile on his face. He looked great. He looked peaceful, and
he had a lot of physical hurts too. That just must have been awful. I mean, he had all kinds of things. To be released from that must have been.
So, but anyway, and then he developed shingles in the last period of his life there. So, you know, he had a lot of trouble. But we were supposed to do a program on that Friday, and he died on a Wednesday, I think, or Thursday. It was quite bad. But, you know, it's not self-pity in that sense. It's just that we feel sorry for you guys that you passed. But in a way, we're so glad that you're still there. We know that you're there. And you're doing well, and you're in a good place.
When you feel sad, for yourself that you've lost.
We feel sad that we lost you guys.
Because it's so hard to say to someone like, "Happy to be dead? Are you serious?" You know, and as far as the individual is concerned, and releasing themselves from the physical suffering and the physical body, and that they have this freedom when they cross over. So when they're saying happy to be dead, I don't believe they mean the sorrow of their loved ones behind, but that they're freed from the suffering, and perhaps the different sufferings that everyone goes through is according to the cosmic laws on what energies that they could carry and consume, perhaps to even help the planet. We don't really know that, you know, because they were saying about the future still is positive gatherings, or I don't remember the words exactly, but above all is that there's a great root, and that root is still... who said that? Billy. He said he saw a root or something like this. And although we go through the suffering, Lila, like you said, it's our emotional loss and the connectiveness that we have with friendship, with family, with love, and even with hate. There are individuals on the other side that can still dislike, or, you know, relatives could perhaps go as deep as a word like hate or disdain and things like that, and they would take a longer time to build an astral body or not have enough cash to get a car, let alone a boat or something. So these cosmic assets, what Billy was saying to me in different words, that he regretted some of these particular things, but yet we don't really know what we sign up for when we first come in without... We don't really have memory of previous lifetimes, and we are an accumulation of all the gatherings of many lifetimes. That's why some are greater knowers than others, but the paths are always open to everybody. You know, there is an infinite variety of paths to what you understand truth to be or what you know. But I'm so delighted. I wasn't really sure how tonight's show would unfold or manifest, because I love them, you know, and I love you guys, and sometimes when it's your own family and the people you love, you get that feeling, Lila, like you're saying, we feel sorry, and the same thing with you, Leo, you know, we don't want the loss because we're endeared, you know, with our friends and our loved ones and things of this nature. So that feeling of absence, I think, brings that grief. And yet when you have good friends that cross over and then come back and say, hey, you know, it's not so bad being dead, then it kind of makes us wake up a little bit. But it doesn't mean that you can't still have communication. I mean, both of them were saying they're in your studio right there, and the what was so funny was Billy saying, I'm supposed to go first. And it just all came out, you know, that George's thoughts were more prominent. He's at a different level than Billy. But it's overlapping. They can be together, but they don't always stay in the same place. And Billy said there's some that can speed across the ocean. Now, I don't know if he's talking about a physical ocean, or what came to my mind was the ocean of life rather than just like a physical ocean. You know, there are some that are evolved and don't even have to incarnate again. So we don't really know what kind of manifestations that we choose prior to coming in and taking on karmic responsibilities, perhaps from previous lifetimes, or strong enough to carry such illnesses until that's diminished. And Leo, you know as well as I do, we both went through some pretty rough physical experiences, very near-death experiences, and perhaps that was to clear karma and things like that, but we're still here. And our friends, and there are others over on the other side that are friends as well, perhaps have finished or completed that karma or that burden, perhaps, that they carried, and maybe not even for themselves, but for others because they couldn't. We don't really know that.
That's true. And I think that, they've completed their cycle, you know, at this point. We haven't yet.
But, exactly.
You know, and we're still here. But Billy, Billy, he's always a comedian, and George always laughed at him as well. But we,
he's going back to "I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy." I have to remember the name of that. It's the Travels of something. I remember the show. It was a teenage movie, like a kid's movie.
He's right. He's not worthy.
He's laughing at it, you know, like bowing down to you and all of that. But he is still in a state of transition. And again, what George was explaining, I think it was George, that you need to build up this astral body. Now, in the sense of my experiences, even as a young child, I was astral projecting, you know, and I just thought everybody did it. I had no idea. And I had no idea that when people close their eyes, they don't see anything. You know, I always have some sort of vision, like I'm flying, or even if it was just a sign I saw, there's always something happening when my eyes are closed. And especially when you do a meditation. Then when I learned to harness, let's say, or utilize the teachers that crossed my path and the truth as presented in many, many different ancient realities or ancient truths or just meeting a kind person, those things actually will help us as we do crossover and will create the prognosis of our own future by how and what we think of now. So it's hard for me to say, okay, what happens when someone doesn't see something clairvoyantly or see things psychically? You can teach or study and at least if you're seeking, use caution like your friend over there and protect that which you know that truth to be. Don't be careless and spill it all over. That's really an important thought in my own understanding. We have to understand to maintain that image of, what did he say, the banner of peace or something like that, or that they have a lot of great work to do yet and that things are important and realizing, I think he said responsibility, Billy was saying, things like that, and stay away from poisons, whatever that meant. Perhaps it's even the food we eat. Is there even food in the food we eat? You know, everything is chemicals nowadays. So that can mean anything. But if you keep your thoughts as positive as possible and worship what you understand, that great creator, God, whatever name you want to use, and worship that within yourself, I think it makes that journey so much easier. And I think perhaps, it's not my ego, but perhaps I came in with all these gifts only because I may have studied with great beings in the past. I'm not certain. I don't know why I have this, and I'm in awe of it all the time. And I'm very cautious about not allowing my ego to distract. That's why I actually envy George's friend over here, that he can focus and concentrate because the motions and all of that keeps him still, so he can stay focused in his heart and in his love for his creator and things of this nature. So when a loved one crosses over and we feel the absence of that, I understand what Lila and you, Leo, mean by a loss, especially family members and friends, and you just really don't have the words for it. But when, again, you hear your loved one saying, "Huh, I'm happy to be dead because now I can even do work better than I did before," you know, I'm using my karmic assets from previous lifetimes too. And you need to distinguish between those things, like seeing the beautiful rose and then one trying to unfold it to make it happen. Doesn't work that way. You know, you embrace the cosmos with love and beauty, you know, especially your garden, Lila.
Well, the garden is a gift from beyond, I think.
Always.
Yeah, we're lucky to have living things, and we should appreciate them while we have them, and appreciate them around us while we have them next to us.
I believe that's what they're saying about friendship, or George was talking about.
Yeah, and the beauty of friendship is that it does transition time and space the way we're here now, and that, you know, the friendships and the love that we have will carry on forever and will be with us. So
it's actually the teaching of light in itself, you know, because love is light and the appreciation. Like I said, sometimes it's difficult for people to know why they're in certain situations, you know, but if you look at the cosmic laws and go with simply to cause and effect, or the laws of attraction, these are very simple cosmic laws 101. You know, why are you in this experience? Well, where were your thought processes? And perhaps even if you had good thoughts and you wound up so ill and hurt and things like that, then you say, well, maybe I'm carrying this because someone else couldn't, and I agreed to bring this in, or I willed how I can help the planet, or something like that. You know, I'm not always sure. I'm not a master of all-knowing, and I don't pretend to be, but I will share that which crosses my path, and hopefully I don't contaminate it with my own mind or thought process. Try to walk around with Windex and paper towels to keep it clear.
Maybe having the same kind of show in maybe a month.
Well, you know, I just got Billy just said to me, you got to remember, Billy's been talking to me and Maria, but he's been talking to me. He just said, "Hey, thanks for all the accolades tonight. Thanks mm-hmm. for all the," he said, "thanks for all the strokes." He said, "I appreciate the strokes, you know." And now he's hanging out his tongue like a dog. He's going, "Thanks for the strokes." And he's saying it's nice to be appreciated, and I just wanted to say, Billy, you always were appreciated, always, and I always tried to build you up wherever we could, and you're the only cosmobiologist I ever know, Noon, and Lila too, and we appreciate him being there. And of course, George, you know, you're on the eternal Friday night with George Dixon there. So it's always on, always will be, and as long as I'm around. And
George is just saying right now, there's many channels, and that reminds me of the reading we had a long time ago. I saw the tributaries of the rivers find the way to the sea. They all got to the sea, but they came from, you can't always see the mouth of the river. Sometimes it's underground, sometimes it's from the mountain, but the rivers all empty into the sea, and the sea swells. And this is what I'm feeling about the love of our friends. And I just want to thank Billy and George and your friend again. My memory's not good. Is he still on the line, George's friend here?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And I want to thank him for joining us this evening as well. But with that, I'm ready to say goodnight. And Lila, the thoughts about another show like this is very pleasing, and we make sure that we'll get a good, clear communication, and doing this again would be wonderful. There's nothing more wonderful than being able to tap into your loved ones. And like I said, I wasn't quite sure how this manifestation was going to be, because I know them and I love them. And it's different when I have when someone approaches me and wants to speak to a loved one. And I could bring all those images or what they need to know, and they understand it immediately. and I have no knowledge or awareness of that journey. But I know George, I know Billy, I know you, I know Lila. We're just a cosmic group, I think, that actually incarnated all at the same time. And like I wanted to make sure that I didn't get my mind in the way of what they wanted to say.
Well, Maria, thank you a million times over for being with us tonight and sharing this with us and enjoying this time with Bill and George and all of us together again.
It was really nice. It was a wonderful experience.
And Rod, I see you're still with us, so thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you. And it's my pleasure as well. It's always wonderful to share what we understand things to be, or our friends. Again, I wasn't sure, and I'm pleased that I didn't contaminate any of it. I changed a few words here and there because I didn't know what to say, but just absorbing their friendship is just a beautiful experience.
And don't forget that Maria and I are co-authoring a book called The Gateways. And, this is...
And you'll be on again next week, next Thursday.
Hopefully you'll be on with us again next week, and we'll be...
Correct. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'll talk to you soon. And thank you again, Rodney, for joining us this evening. All right.
Talk to you soon. Good night, Maria.
Good night, Maria.
Love you guys. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. And everybody who joined us. Of course, Rod, who is still with us, thank you for being with us.
And please join us.
Talk to you soon. Yeah, join us next Tuesday night when we go into our bipolar aspects here of our, of our alternative news and views. So join us tomorrow next week.
And good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.